All right, Psalm 49. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. And so we see it was a music. It's obviously all the Psalms are. And so we're going to look at this and trust the Lord will make it a blessing. It's a lot of what we already know, but I thought since we're making our way through the Psalms, this kind of stuck out to me as something I should talk about anyways and look at that might be a help to us, we trust. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the surgery the pastor has had and that he is not having the pain that he had before. And in that way is feeling better. And we pray for now the recovery from the gallbladder being removed and the disturbance that is to a person's body and the healing now that there needs to be brought there. We pray your hand upon him and ask that you will bless him this morning and encourage his heart. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. As we open up the scriptures this morning, Lord, we are so grateful that we don't open the Bible alone. It's wonderful to know you're leading in the scriptures, Lord, and you're teaching in the word of God. We pray for the ministry of the Spirit in every one of our lives. Surely there is something here for our own hearts and lives that we can benefit from. Open our eyes and open our hearts to the things in the word of God and make it useful for every single person that is here and those who come later. Minister to all of us, we pray, with the word. And we'll give you thanks and praise and know that this is coming from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, this whole psalm, mine is titled The Folly of Trusting Riches. So the foolishness of trusting in riches. And you'll notice in these first four verses, it's hear this, all you people, everybody. Now watch, all the inhabitants of the world. And then verse 2, both low and high. So no matter what status you are in society, I know back in the wartime, they would talk about German soldiers, whether they would be high or low, wherever they would be. So I'm not familiar with that. I'm not familiar with people being looked at as better or more important than others. When I was in the Philippines, I learned there that they try really hard to make their skin white, but they're all different. When Filipino people, they're all different shades. Some of them are very dark, and apparently they don't like that at all, because if you're very dark, then somehow that even in that culture is connected with, you're basically like a slave, or you're not important at all. The darker you are, the more unimportant you are. And so they would have ads, and I would laugh. When I get up to preach, I'm like, it's a funny thing here. I said, everyone here wants to be white, and from the country I come from, everybody wants to be as dark tanned as they possibly can be. And they think that looks better if you're dark tanned. But here, in all the ads, they would have all white people doing advertising things because that's how they wanted to look. They wanted to be white. They felt inferior. They didn't need to feel inferior. God made probably a lot more of them than he did white people. But at any rate, low and high. No matter how you view yourself, this teaching is for everyone. And for the whole world. And so he says he will speak of wisdom. And we don't know who the author of the psalm is, but it's part of God's inspired word. And so there's much to learn here. And so he's going to talk about money. Why is it addressed to everyone in the whole world? Because the world is running on money. Our world is a material world. It's all about It's all about things, and even if people talk about spiritual things, in the world, they really don't have a clue what they're talking about. They don't know Christ as their Savior. They don't know the Bible. I had somebody at work wanting to argue the Bible with me, but you know, clearly had never read it, but you know, knew all about it. funny that, it is easy for anyone, because we live in this world, to attach too much importance to money and to material things. And throughout this psalm is brought out the idea that nobody can permanently have money. Because even if you do manage to have it all of your life and a great amount of material things, when you die, you will not have it. Nobody packs a bag to leave this world, and some people have tried having certain riches of theirs included in their coffin, but it still stayed in this world. It didn't leave this world with them. There's not a chance. Look at verse 2, and it also says rich and poor. You know, you think, oh well, if you're poor, you think the only people who have problem with money, love money too much, are rich people. But that's not necessarily true. A lot of people have very little money. It's very, very important. And so whether you have a lot of it or you have a little of it, the trouble is, no matter how much you have, it might have you. It might be in control of us. And so rich or poor still want it because they believe it's the answer in life to problems and to the desire for things, and that somehow it might give us happiness. But things do not give happiness. And I don't know when we'll ever get that through our head, because that's the constant what philosophy that the world keeps pouring into you, that in every advertisement they're like, oh, you don't have this, but you need it, right? And if you had it, your life would be better, and you'd be happier, and you'd look younger, and all this other foolishness, all of the good that it supposedly can do, which it cannot. Now, then you get to verse 5. Wherefore should I fear the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? Now, the iniquity of my heels, that stuck out to me. I'm like, ooh, what exactly is the iniquity of heels? Psalm 49 in the scriptures this morning, and verse 5. But it's talking about being in a trap. It has the idea that the trap of money, the trap of financial things, taking over your life and becoming too important. And you know, it's easy to say that, but I've seen that happen. I have seen that happen to people where money just became too important and it really became their God. Save people. You know, people who love the Lord. And so it's an important warning in the Word of God. And so it can become a trap. Something at your heel is the idea of, you know, to make you fall, to be injured, or to, like a leg hold trap, get a hold of you. So it has that idea. So the idea is, wherefore should I fear the days of evil? So in other words, if material things become too important to me, that will bring days of evil into my life. Now, is that what the philosophy of the world? You'll win the lottery and then all your troubles will be over. We used to have a guy at work, and a lot of the men at work, buy lottery tickets and things like that. And he used to say, well, I know it has its own problems, but I'll trade those problems for these problems. But people really believe that. But it's the days of evil. And many people who have won a great sum of money, if you look at people have looked back at the lives of people who had won, and many people's lives were completely destroyed. It really was days of evil in their family and in their lives. Now to verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. They that trust in their wealth. They're not trusting in God, they trust in their wealth. And if you have, if we have a lot of material things, a lot of material blessings, it might be easy for that to happen. Now, with these guys over here, apparently that did not happen. They went over there to visit the Lord after he was born, and they brought their riches and were willing to worship the Lord with their riches. But the trouble with riches is that sometimes it does the opposite thing, of course. It takes over instead of being a tool to serve God in the world. And that being said, I also know a businessman who has really been blessed by God and really blessed financially. And the businessman, as far as I know, has taken his business and used it for missions, for anyone he meets who has a financial need to give to them. And though his business has been blessed, the business and the money and the material things have not controlled his life. He has wisely controlled that to serve God better and used it as a tool to serve God. And so we're in Psalm 49, verse 6. Now, they that trust in their wealth and boast, watch, boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. Now, if we had time, we would look at the scripture that says that it is the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth. In other words, you look at the world and you say, well, some people just, everything they touch just seems to turn to gold practically. Everything they do, they just make money and make. But behind that is not, a superior intellect to you if you did not have a lot of money. It is the hand of God. The hand of God, he has a different plan for everybody in the world, and, saved or lost. And he's planned that some people will be rich and some won't. But the rich may have done certain things to be rich, but they can't take the credit for that. It's God that gives the power to have wealth. Or he does not give the power to have wealth. It's just clearly laid out but in the scriptures. But here we see, and they boast themselves. They glory. One of the problems with if you have more material things than the other people around you is that you begin to believe that you are more important than they are. Now, I often say that to myself when I'm driving a Corolla hatchback. We happen to have a newer vehicle now, but usually I have a very old vehicle, or my service van. And I always say that certain brands of cars always seem to pass me. They always go faster than everybody else. And so, I notice if you have a Mercedes or if you have a BMW or if you have a Jaguar or, even an Audi of all things. I don't know if any of you own those things. It doesn't matter if you do, but I see them passing me. And I'm like, oh, that. They'll be behind me, but then they'll go around and get in front of me. They can't go any further down the road because there's lots of traffic, but they got to be in front of me. And I'm like, oh, you are more important than I was. Because that's kind of the mentality. I've got to be ahead of you. It's like the old bumper sticker that somebody had on a Chevette, real high-quality vehicle. And on a Chevette said, it may not be fast, but at least I'm in front of you. the idea that if you're in front of someone, then you're more important than them. And the rich, and to have a lot of material things, it can become where you actually believe that nonsense, that you are more important. And you probably had people treat you certain ways. I'm on job sites, and so I'm dealing with supervisors and foremen, and sometimes even owners of businesses that are there. And, well, Friday, I had to put a track on a mini excavator. It came off, and I had a gentleman there helping me, and he seemed to be, not that old. I don't know. I'm old, so everybody's not that old anymore, I guess. He might have been 30. And then when we got it all done, he's helped me, and he didn't seem a lot better at running a Mini-X than I am, and I'm not an operator. I figured out how to run the thing. I'm a farm boy. I ran back home on the farm, but anyway, he gets done helping. I said, "So did you just the bottom man that got nominated to have to help me, do the grunt work, get the track back on the machine?" And he says, no, I'm the foreman." But, he didn't come across that way. He didn't have that arrogance. He didn't have that, I'm the one in charge here sort of thing. He was very, very down to earth and admitted that other people knew how to run that better than he did. And just a nice guy. But position and material things can do that to people. And so we see that. And then verse 7, none of them. So now we're going to talk about what money can really do. When it comes down to it, what can money do? None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. There's nothing more important than having your sins forgiven and knowing that you're going to heaven. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. And if you're not saved, you have nothing. And no matter how much money you have, you can't keep even your own brother from dying. That's what it's talking about. You can't do anything. You can't give God a ransom for a soul. You cannot buy. In the first place, the Bible does not teach anywhere that there is a purgatory. There is no purgatory. There is no temporary place people go after they die. But there is a religion in our world today that, people believe if they give lots of money, they could get a relative, out of the flames of hell. Sorry, that's permanent. Death makes permanent whatever decision you have made. You decide to reject God your whole life right down to your dying moment. Then you die. Death has made that decision forever, and there's nothing else. And so, you can't give God a ransom for him. You can't do it. What does that riches do if your brother is dead and in hell? You can't do anything about it. And that's really what it's referring to here. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. It's a one-time thing. You can't add to it. You can't do anything about it. Pastor's been speaking in 1 Peter. I won't bother you to turn there, but it's 1 Peter 1:18. And let me just read it for you. It says, "For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." We silver and gold had nothing to do with whether we got saved or didn't. You weren't saved better if you had more money to give. We're all saved the same. From your vain conversation received by a tradition of your fathers. In other words, you are just like your fathers, a sinner just like them. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood, because there's never been blood like that. The blood of God and man, and there never will be blood like that ever shed again for sins. It's a once for all, the Bible says, that we have been saved. And Job speaks of that as well in Job 36, 18 and 19. We could look there, but I think we're going to be short of time, so I better keep going here. That verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. And the word corruption there means the pit of hell. You would not see the pit of hell. It's not just referring to the body in the grave, but it refers to far beyond that, where people are that are lost. There's nothing you can do with money that will help your soul, help someone to be saved. And so that's the point. The point is that wealth is really powerless to do anything that is of real importance. And there's nothing more important than the salvation of your soul. Now, I will have you turn with me just for a second to 1 Timothy. Because here in 1 Timothy, Paul speaks to Timothy about material things and money in particular. 1 Timothy chapter 6. These are familiar verses, but twice he mentions about material things here. Verse 6, 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Just to be content with what you have and not always wanting things. And the world is always, you know, that's the heart of man. The heart of man is not satisfied very well. You have to choose. You have to discipline it to be satisfied. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. I like that. Well, obviously you didn't bring any money with you when you were born, did you? You came with nothing. Guess how you leave? With nothing. It's certain we can carry nothing out of this world. Now, so what do we need? Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For they that will be rich, for those whose desire in life is material things, I must have material things, I must have money. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, a temptation to put money above. Sadly, many people have put money above people. People in their life are not nearly important. When they see other people, the only thing they think about is, how can I get money out of this person? And it's not just salesmen that are like that. The Bible says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, I honestly like a little more than that. I like to have a place to live as well. But apparently, food and raiment, if you've got something to wear, and you happen to get something to eat that day, the Bible says, that's where you should draw the line. So I don't think any of us have ever drawn the line there. I've always drawn the line a little further up the way, but the Bible says you should be content there. So if I have a house, now what should I be? Well, I should be really content now, right? I'm blessed because I have a house, because a house isn't included there even. And so the warning is, now that I have a house, the warning is, look out, because make sure I'm not, my goal is not to be rich. So we fall into a temptation and a snare, and temptation to sin. A snare has to do with something that will bring personal damage to your life. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Many lusts, many desires, not just the desire for money, but there's a whole realm of desires that go with that are both foolish, because they, when it's all said and done, it's really made no difference. And it will make no difference serving God, because this is written to Timothy. The same kind of lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. There are desires, the financial desires, money, the love of money is keeping people lost. It's drowning them in destruction and perdition. And those words are basically refer to the same thing, as eternal punishment and being in hell. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now that's the thing is, the love of money. That's why the psalm was addressed to rich and poor, because whether you have money or you don't have much money, you could still love it. And the love of money is the root of evil. The Bible talks about a root of bitterness, because that can be in your life, and it can be a long time before it grows up and people see how bitter you are, but you was a root in there all along. Money's a root too. Money's a root of evil. And so the love of money can be there, but later in your life or at some time down the road, that can spring up. And because of it, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Ooh. Erred from the faith. If it goes far enough, it will take you away from God. It'll take you away from serving God. It'll make you choose the wrong things in life. Err from the faith and pierce yourselves through. It's the idea of sticking a sword through yourself. Now, who wants to do that? But
You know, material things in the place of God, serving material things is like taking a knife and sticking it into yourself. Now that doesn't sound very enjoyable. Well, I thought money was supposed to be enjoyable. Now go to verse 17. Charge them, the pastor now is supposed to charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. There's that proud mind that I'm better than you sort of thing. Nor trust in what kind of riches? Uncertain riches. Almost everybody who has a great deal of money has it tied to the stock market. And what could be more uncertain than that fool thing? And mutual funds and all that sort of stuff. I had invested $6,000with a bank for 5 years in mutual funds. And do you know what I made at the end of 5 years? $3. Needless to say, you will never stay with that bank again. $3. Anyway, so where riches are uncertain, and you don't know if it's going to be more or less, or with my case, just stay the same, basically. But here, who should we trust in? But in the living God. Here's where we need to trust. Don't trust in riches, trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He gives us money to enjoy. He gives us all things to enjoy, and all coming from Him. And so whether you have a lot or little, you have basically what God is choosing for us. And so back to Psalm 49, and just finish up a couple things. If you look at, verse 10. For he seeth, this is the person who is living for money. He seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person, and leave their wealth to others. And so the roughest, poorest person, the fool, the wise men, they die. And where is their money? Well, it's here. I mean, you spend all your life with a shovel, shoveling up a big pile of money, and then when you die, it's all somebody else's. Well, that was a wasted life, wasn't it? And the point is here that he seeth that wise men. He sees what happens when people die, that they spent their whole life getting a fortune, and then it's gone. Whether there was a fool or a brutish person or whatever it was, they leave their wealth to others. Verse 11, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. In other words, if you got a nice house, and by the way, their houses, it's funny, I know how people who are rich, what do they have? They have a really nice house. It's one of the things that people always seem to do first when they have a lot of money is pour a lot of money in their house. I've poured enough money into houses over the years just to try to make them a little bit better, but their inward thought is that their houses continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. But then when they die, somebody changes the name of it and forgets all about them. And then, some people have been kept for a while, but, you know, by and by, no matter how important you were or famous you were, after a few generations, nobody will remember you anymore or know how important you were in some other generation. It just, your name will be gone. And nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. You cannot make wealth a permanent possession, even in your own family. He dies as like the beasts that perish. Well, the beasts have nothing. And so, you know, when the beast gets old, he dies. That's the end of him. And he's gone. And when a rich man gets old, he dies. He's gone from this earth too. And there's nothing left here to remember him. Verse 13 says, this their way is their folly. So the way of living, where live for money, live for material things, live to heap up treasure, this is their foolishness. Yet their posterity approved their sayings. So posterity is the future generations, your family. So they live a foolish life living for things, but when their children grow up, they think that's a good idea too. You know, they see that dad lived for nothing because all he lived for was money, and then, you know, he didn't even have time for family or so many, the salvation of his own soul. So many things are important. He got money, then died. And yet the next generation didn't see the foolishness of that, and they go on to do the very same thing. Like sheep, they're laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And the idea is that those who serve God will be exalted more than those rich people in the morning. Now, in the morning just means very soon. People would say in the morning, because no matter where you are in the day, the next morning is pretty soon. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling, and so their beauty. I thought about this. I thought, you know, who spends more money on trying to look good than like movie stars and rich people? And, you know, it's just, they spend a lot of money on that. But when they die, you know, the body rots in the grave, and, you know, that's all. they're not beautiful anymore. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. There, what do you think of that, he says. And put that in your pipe and smoke it, my grandmother used to say. We wouldn't say that anymore. I shouldn't smoke a pipe. But think about that. All he had was money. But he says, but when I die, the grave's not my... that's not the end of me. God's going to redeem me from the power of grave. There's going to be a resurrection. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to live with God and be with him. For he shall receive me. And the rich man didn't have time for what was really important, but for the child of God who served God in this world, we have so much to look forward to, and heaven is our home. For verse 17, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. Now here's an interesting thing. He congratulated himself, is the idea, about, you know, how well he did and how much money he had and how important he was. He congratulated himself with all those things. But the Bible says, and men will praise you if you do well to yourself. And that's funny in the world. You know, somebody has a lot of money, and so, you know, they buy a mansion and everybody thinks that's great. And they spend all this money on themselves and everybody thinks that's great. Instead of saying, well, you know, why didn't you do something for someone else? Or why didn't you do something for a, you know, poor people or starving people or something like that? The world thinks it's great if you spend your money on yourself. In verse 19, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They're all going to the same way. They're all going to hell. That's the idea. They shall never see light. Hell is a place called the place of outer darkness. When the Bible says he'll never see light, that's what it's saying. That's where he is. He is in outer darkness. And then it ends with this. Man that is in honor because of material things and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. He understands not. What does he not understand? What God expects. That God has given you a certain amount of time to live on this earth, and in that you have a duty to see that your soul is saved. You have a responsibility to turn to God in your life. If you let all of those days pass, you're just like the beast that perish. You knew nothing. Because, you know, the animals, they're only living for right now and for today. They don't comprehend any future, and how foolish for a man to live and not to see the importance of repentance, changing of your mind, and turning to Christ and putting faith in him being saved. The world loves those people who have made it and used their money for their own happiness, but have not used it to help others, which is its purpose, or to serve God. The two purposes of money, that we might have enough to take care of ourselves and serve God, help others, and to be a blessing. And so he had honor here, but he didn't know what was important in life. And what a shame to have lived your whole life and you still didn't know what life was about. You thought it was about making money. You know, when you think about it, how ridiculous is that? You know, you have to invest a certain amount of your time, and you need to work hard, and you need to work as unto God. And some of us, Jeff and I, have actually talked about that. It's hard sometimes in this world when the managers over you and the people that you work with are all lost and so money greedy and selfish. It's sometimes hard. You got to remind yourself you got to work as unto the Lord Jesus. But everybody will have to work, except for apparently the millennial generation. They don't seem to think they're going to have to work, but they're going to find out when all of us older people retire. They're going to have to do the jobs and work hard. But you have to work, but there must be time for the Lord. There must be time for family. There must be time for many other things than just making money. If you just made money, what was the point of that when it's all said and done? And that's the point of the song. You have nothing. And actually, you have something that has caused you a great deal of worry and anxiety. And the more you have, the more you worry. The more you have, the more it keeps you up, it seems. So it's not like the bumper sticker that says, "He that dies with the most toys wins." What does he win? Because he leaves all of that to someone else. What sort of an imbecile wrote that? You know, what did you win? It's like the Mercedes ad there. I heard on the radio, it says, "Show people that you have arrived by buying a Mercedes." You've arrived. Where have you arrived to? You're still on this earth. You know, and you're still lost if you have just spent your money all for that and your time earning that. So the foolishness of money, and there's other things we can look at, but we'll leave it there. Anything you want to add to that or say about that? Rose.
God blesses those that honor him. And if you make sure you are there, how are his time? My parents, my mom was saved, my dad and me. We had my mom always tied the little that she had. And she didn't care about it. That's just what she did. And raised us to know Christ.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Every dollar you have has come from the Lord. It's part of every good and perfect gift that cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Yeah, the Lord, it is essential that you honor the Lord in all things. And so we want to be doing that for sure. And give to him. Because he blesses as we give. There's no question about that. All right, thank you for that. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And it seems proper and appropriate, Lord, for all of us to be reminded again and again in the word of God that not only do you bless our lives with material things, but you also warn us not to love the gifts more than the giver. And to get things out of proportion in our lives. We pray that you will bless us as we consider these things and that we would see the foolishness of money in and of itself. But we use it, Lord, to serve you in this world and to please you and to lay up treasures in heaven. And we thank you for the word of God and for the instruction in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.